Hello and welcome to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. A lot has happened. We recently just had, what was it? Toronto regionals. Sean, did you watch any of that?
I watched a little bit, and I did watch. Mm-hmm. I actually tuned in exactly as the finals match was starting yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So I did get to see a fellow pod person, JW, get his regional win, which was pretty amazing with Maridon. I was like, the Maridon crew finally got the dub.
Yeah, I mean, the Maridon believers have been riding a high lately. I feel like Maridon's been doing pretty well, I think. We're not necessarily going to talk too much about the meta that evolved over there because a lot of people are shifting their focus now to Paradox Rift. Do we have another event before Paradox Rift becomes legal?
I don't know. There might be some event somewhere, but... I mean, I have a league challenge into League Cup before.
Okay.
So, yeah, like for everybody out there, like, yeah, look, the decks that are currently developed, you know, you still might have tournaments for them, but we're going to be talking about Paradox Rift.
Paradox Rift does release this upcoming week. So as this podcast is coming out, you may want to check your local game shops, stuff like that, especially if they did pre-release events because they may be selling it early. So you definitely want to get on that before it goes away. But we want to give that big shout out to JW Crew, as Sean said, fellow podcaster, Pokemon podcaster. I would say the OG still standing.
Yep.
I think it's the oldest current standing Pokemon TCG podcast, and the Metapod has been represented on there as well. I was in a guest episode one time with JW. It was a great time. Love those guys over there. But Sean, this is about the Metapod.
Yeah.
This is about the guys who can't go to regional championships, but still can give you all the coverage on things that are going on in the Pokemon trading card game. Yeah. We're going to start off with the collecting side. There was some big collecting news the last couple weeks. We talked, I believe, previously several months ago about a new trademark that dropped, Shiny Treasure EX. It has officially been revealed in Japan. Sean, we found out our new holiday set that's got all the shiny Pokemon going on. This is going to be a ton of cards releasing in Japan on December 1st. I assume is it going to be a spring for us?
I think
like fall?
Because they made our shiny set this year with Crown Zenith in the spring. But
okay.
So like you could maybe assume that, hey, maybe they're shifting schedules with this year. And so ours will come in like February, March, something like that. But we don't know, I guess, technically, but maybe.
It'll be 190 cards before the secret rares. And when they revealed it, they showcased a bunch of the different cards in there. There's a bunch of reprints, like your typical trainers. Actually, mostly pretty impactful trainers regarding like Super Rod, Nest Ball, Ultra Ball, stuff like that. And then also some of the shinies that we got a glimpse of what those look like, Sean. And to be honest, here's my honest opinion. It's the same old in terms of these shiny sets. It's just the full arts in a shiny version.
Yep.
I
think the challenge these days is that the illustration rares are so good. That, like, if you told Pokemon players 3-4 years ago, hey, shiny Pokemon are not really going to be that hype. That's not going to be the max rarity version you're going to throw in your deck. They would have been like, what are you talking about? But now, special illustration rares are where it's at. And so I look at this set, and it's really cool from a collector. Like, if you're a collector, go off. But if you're trying to bling out a deck, and I even think, like, there is a shiny Charizard EX.
There is.
But the problem,
it looks exactly like the Obsidian Flames full art. Except it's just an off color.
And the thing is, the off color isn't even that different, because the Obsidian Flames one, I think, is a shiny Charizard, right?
No, so it's not shiny. It's the terrestrial Charizard.
Oh, sure.
So it looks like a shiny as in like a glossy. It's not like a shiny skinned Charizard, but it's still like, I mean, in the new one that's coming in Shiny Treasure EX, it's still that terrestrial like effect, glass effect. And in my opinion, it's just super underwhelming. I mean, that's my hot. I don't know if that's a hot take, but it's super underwhelming. These cards, like Hidden Fates, I think was the first shiny set, right?
I think there must have been shinies before, but I think Hidden Fates was like the big one that I think I remember is like the first.
Yeah, like the big shiny set.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had, like you said, we have shinies before that, shiny cards, but those were like one individual kind of things. But like, anyways, Hidden Fates. Or wait, no, I think there was one in like Sun and Moon. Anyways, back it up. Hidden Fates started this trend of shiny cards that look very similar to these. But I think one thing that is really cool about the Shiny Treasure EX set is the baby Pokemon. I think the baby Pokemon, still following like the similar theme as recent years, these Pokemon are different design and illustrations. Plus, in each of the little baby Pokemon, they each have like three stars, like kind of signifying as well shiny. So I really like that part. I think those are cool. I think the starters are pretty underwhelming as shinies. I think Fue Coco is probably the best because he's like pink instead of red. It's the most noticeable. Yeah. But yeah, be on the lookout for that. Again, these, I mean, this will be super popular. I'm hoping that they're printed like heck. You know, and pretty accessible in the different boxes and stuff. You won't get booster boxes of this set. It'll just be like an ETB that has extra packs in it, things like that. But more information will come around with that.
Yeah, if Crown Zenith is any indication, there'll be plenty of this product available when it comes out.
I hope so, because, I mean, a lot of these baby Pokemon, too, end up being really cheap, which is really nice. But
Next thing on the list of news before we get to new stuff is just a note that the official set list for the prize pack series, which are the packs that you get for attending local events. So if you go to those events, most likely your local scene will have one pack to give to you just for competing. Mm-hmm. They might give them out as prizing, but they're the really cool ones that have the stamp, and sometimes you get a shiny, cool version of cards. The official set list for all three series have been released finally. So instead of the community having to put everything together, you can just, there's your checklist, right? You know what you're looking for if you're trying to look for anything in particular.
Now, to be clear, this is sets 1 through 3. So that is currently what all is out right now. Prize Pack Series 4 is set to release, we think, you know, like February 2024. Because it's usually like 6 months, I think, in between new prize pack sets. So be on the lookout again for that. As Sean said, you know, there's some cool cards, some stamps. The holo patterns are very nice on these cards. I really like them, especially the reprinted cards from Scarlet and Violet series. Yep. With the silver border being holo as well. So really, really cool on this. Again, if you're someone who wants to max rarity or have more fun rarity on some of these cards, like what's a good example, like Waylord in GLC, the jumbo size special wave one. I think max rarity now is this promo pack Waylord.
I also just really like the Nest Ball, Ultra Ball, and Rare Candy. The silver bordered ones are gorgeous. They might even for me beat out gold cards, so they're really nice.
I think definitely in terms of a price, I like having these better because it's still like blinging out your deck, right? Because it's hollow. It looks super pretty, as you were saying. Like, it's really, really nice. It's a nice, cheap alternative to the gold cards, I feel like.
Jake, last piece of news here. We had a, I would call, surprise ban for Expanded. Now, granted, this ban only is for Japan currently. But, Jake, what card was unexpectedly just banned, and why do you think it was banned?
So, back on October 27th, Scoop Up Net from Rebel Clash, for anyone who remembers that card. That was banned in the expanded format for Japan. They didn't necessarily give an explanation as to why it was banned. They're just like, yeah, this card is banned. But if you do not remember, Scoop Up Net is an item card that puts one of your Pokemon that isn't a Pokemon V or GX into your hand, discarding all the other cards on top of that. And so one of the reasons that this was banned, if you do not know, in the recent sets, Pokemon EXs have now been printed. And so Scoop Up Net allows you to pick up those Pokemon EXs. And so, especially with a card that we'll talk about later in some of our decks, Iron Valiant, you can get a lot of scoop ups and a lot of damage counters in places and things like that. So that is one of probably the many cards that you can combo with in expanded, at least in Japan, that are very unhealthy for the game. And one of the reasons that I want to talk about this, it doesn't apply to anybody really, because we don't have a lot of expanded things going on right now. I mean, I don't know any expanded things that are going on right now, and this is a ruling in Japan. But I do think with this ruling coming in expanded, that eventually we're going to start seeing more expanded events again. That's my prediction going on right now, because TPCI hasn't done anything with expanded really up to this point, you know, with live having a snippet of expanded, and like apparently a bunch of the older cards are supposed to be backloaded in there eventually again someday.
Yeah.
And like now this new ruling in Japan sort of talking about expanded again, I don't know, maybe it would just be in the form of like, you know, local events can have one League Cup standard and one League Cup expanded a month. Maybe it turns into an event. Maybe we have a regional that's expanded or something of the sort. Who knows? But I don't know. This is like, we've had a couple inklings of like, oh, expanded's going to come back. Expanded's going to come back. This feels like the most legitimate one.
I mean, I think the weird thing, Jake, I think expanded is allowed for challenges and cups now. They made an announcement.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, they made an announcement like 3 or 4 months ago that was confirmed. Mm-hmm. Like, is, I think, Stefan Ivanov. I don't know. I might be wrong. I'm sure somebody,
I think,
will
we talked
me
about that actually a little bit in a previous episode.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, if you were to run an expanded event, either nobody would show up because nobody plays expanded, or the only people that would show up would just get top placement because nobody has expanded decks. And so I think until we see an expanded regional, because like even when we had expanded a few years back, Jake, there was not expanded challenges or expanded cups. It was only regionals.
That's not true. For the most part, yes. I mean, we still had expanded cups and challenges.
There was never an expanded cup or challenge in all of the Northeast New York area for the
year. We had them. We had them in the Midwest, at least. I don't know about West Coast. I think West Coast actually expanded is more popular. Not more popular than standard, but like there's a lot of people who like playing expanded in the West Coast.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had them. It definitely wasn't as bountiful as, you know, standard. Like it was every once in a while I got out my expanded cards and was like, all right, time to sleeve up an expanded deck again. And it definitely had way less people going to it than a normal standard cup. But to your point, it's not as popular of a format. A lot of people just don't have cards, especially after this new boom of players.
Yeah.
Right. There's not going to be a ton of people that probably show up to these events if they do come back, but they might.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It may be that if we get an expanded regional, it'll be next year at this point, because they've already, all the regionals are done now. We know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But it may be they, with the, my gut is between this and the announcement of A-Specs coming back.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Next set probably.
Yeah.
If they do A-Specs and they're basically a reprint of former A-Specs, then that might solve the curling problem as well and the cost of those cards. So then I think maybe then you could say, okay, 2024 season, 2025, like maybe we got some, but anyways, Jake,
I kind of want Expanded to come back. I mean, I know it's too. A little bit more degenerate and wild and crazy, but like, I don't know. It's really nice every once in a while to have like a new format to just play. Kind of like how GLC has been popular.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a new way to play.
I think they might have to ban ADP.
They have to do some stuff. They have to do some things.
If you have ADP and Iron Hands, which we'll talk about, can you imagine, Jake? Oh, take two extra prizes. I mean, that decks like that kind of already existed, but none of the cards were as good as Iron Hands. So, like, that could, that could get rough.
I just imagine going second, turn one, ADP, Altered Creation, turn two, Amp You Very Much with Electro Power. Think of Amp You Very Much with Electro Power.
And
holy
and
smokes.
The stadium.
Thunder Mountain.
It's fine. Yeah. What doesn't matter? Anyways,
that's insane. Anyways, we're going to stop talking about Expanded, and now we're going to talk about Paradox Rift. We have several different deck lists that you can look at. Now that stuff has released in Japan and it's releasing this week in the United States, we have combined many, many decks, a lot of them City Championship decks, things that won or like top four'd, or maybe some popular versions that we're seeing popping up, to where if you want to start building and start playing your Paradox Rift decks, you now have an idea of where this is. And as always, or I guess most of the time, I think like in the move, I forgot to do this one week. We will be populating these decks on PokemonCard.io, is it called?
We might have to wait until the set is officially released, because I don't
think
these cards...
good point.
Yeah, these cards aren't on there yet, but, you know, hey, watch the video and then maybe in a future week.
Here's what we'll do. If I can't upload them to the website where the deck lists are that we usually do for our episodes, I'll just upload all this to Imgur and leave a link in the description / show notes down below. So then you all can see the decks and things like that. But, Sean, one of the biggest cards that have been released and a lot of people are excited about, I know we talked about this a lot on the podcast, Roaring Moon. So we've got two different deck lists that we want to showcase, two different ways to play that we both thought were very interesting. Sean presented one, I presented the other. But Sean, which one do you want to go over first?
I'll go over what I'm just calling Turbo Roaring Moon. Mm-hmm. So this list here, I actually yoinked from Celio's network. Shout out to Yoink. Yeah, shout out to Luke. But yeah, so the idea of this deck, Roaring Moon, I'll quickly set it up for these decks. 230 HP Dark Ancient type Pokemon. So its first attack for two dark and a colorless. I can't read the name, but it doesn't matter. It basically says if you know you do a 200 damage to yourself, and then your opponent's Pokemon is knocked out. It doesn't deal damage. So if there was any way to stop effects of attacks, then that would actually stop this attack, but not as popular right now. So basically instant KO, but you do 200 damage to yourself. Second attack for two dark and a colorless as well. It does 100 damage, and then I believe if you have a stadium in play or discard a stadium, you do 120 more.
I'm pretty sure it's discarding a stadium.
Right. So, you know, you could do 220 as a secondary attack with the exact same energy cost, which is really, really useful. I mean, we talked about it in the set review, but 220 is kind of this really good number. So you look at that and you say to yourself, okay, like that seems crazy powerful, but three energy, two of which are dark, how do you get this powered up? And that's where we talk about two other cards, one of which is new in Professor Sada's Vitality. That is a supporter that says you choose up to two energy cards from your discard and attach them to two different ancient Pokemon in play, I believe. I don't think they have to be on your bench, right?
I think it's just ancient Pokemon in play.
So you can attach one to two different Pokemon. So that's one energy. Then you have your attachment from hand. And the third energy can come from, I suppose, a number of places, but one place is Dark Patch, which allows you to attach a darkness from your discard to a benched dark-type Pokemon. And then the other one is a card we haven't really seen viability for since ADP, which is Energy Switch. So if, say, you don't find the dark patch, hey, this list has four energy switch as well. So you could just switch that energy that Sada got on right on over. Or you can use Galarian Moltres V to throw some extra energy into play and just switch it on over that way. So very viable attacker going second. So if you like Maridon, but you don't like seeing yellow all the time, hey, this is a dark version of it. Yeah.
Quick question. Did you, because I was looking up just the cards and the official wordings on them, just so we, you know, fact check ourselves. Did you mention Professor Sada's draw effect too?
Oh, right. And Professor Sada draws you three cards. I didn't even mention that. That's
yeah, you do
icing.
Have to attach, you have to, you do have to attach an energy in the way that she says. Again, we'll read this just so we're all clear on this. Choose up to two of your ancient Pokemon and attach a basic energy card from your discard pile to each of them. If you attach any energy this way, draw three cards. So as Sean said, you know, the energy acceleration is great, but also the draw effect is real nice too.
Yeah. Do you like Welder? But do you like not having do you like not having to have energy in your hand? Cool. This
cool.
is great.
And I mean, there's a lot of ways to discard energies in this deck with Ultra Balls, Greninja, Radiant Greninja, Professor's Research is in this, and then Pokestop on top of that as well. And yeah, Squawk ability on there as well to just get that turn one in there. This list, I think, is really, really cool. This probably, I would say, out of the two, is probably the easier to build because a lot of these cards are pretty cheap, I would think, especially the Galarian Moltres. You could probably pick those up pretty easily.
Yeah, and overall, like, again, this is very turbo. You have four battle VIPs, you've got Ultra Balls, you got Switch Carts, and Earthen Vessel, which you discard a card, get two basic energy
Sean's
out of your deck.
Favorite card.
I know.
Let me tell you.
That card is broken, but just overall, it's meant to be a high consistency deck. But the one thing I will say that this deck would suffer from is, as an early list, it doesn't have a lot of what I would call variability in its gameplay. So you could attack with Mew in this deck. It actually is possible with the energy switches. So that's kind of the only sort of out of nowhere attacker you can really get. Like, Galarian Moltres is just, to be frank, a less exciting attack version of Dark Moon, of Roaring Moon. But maybe it doesn't matter. If you just knock out your opponent three times, it doesn't matter, I guess, if you don't have variability. You just win.
I will say on that too, I really like the idea of discarding the energy and then using, like, you can discard an energy off Earthen Vessel, get two more energy cards, do whatever, and then now you have three energies potentially in the discard pile for Professor Sada's Vitality.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's a crazy combo.
It's amazing.
You could even do discard one off for the Earthen Vessel, and then after you grab two, discard one off Radiant Greninja, and boom, you have your two.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a really good deck. But Jake, what is the other way that I didn't even think of that people could build Roaring Moon?
This probably doesn't surprise a lot of people when you actually think about it. You probably didn't think of it at first, but now hearing it, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, that makes sense. Pair it up with Lost Box, the deck that you could just put with anything. Put four Colress Experiment in it, four Comphase, some Crams, and there you go. You've got your BDIF, I guess you could say. Obviously, the idea of this, as we've seen in many other Lost Zone engine decks, you use your Comphase, you use your Colress to get energies in the Lost Zone to activate other cards like Cramorant, Sableye, Mirage Gate. In this deck is a little bit different because it plays also the emergency jelly, which I thought was very interesting. You know, we've talked about the emergency jelly in past decks on the Articuno. If you do need a refresher on what that card is, It is a tool card that says at the end of each turn, if this Pokemon this card is attached to, has 30 HP or less remaining and has any damage counters on it, heal 120. And then if you do heal damage in this way, discard the tool card. And so with Roaring Moon putting it down to 30 HP left, it procs this tool card. And so now you're at 150 HP, which I don't know if it's really going to make a difference in the meta per se, but with something that we'll talk about later with, you know, potentially Rapid Strike Urshifu or something of the sorts, it makes it a little bit harder to have that deck maximize against you in terms of knocking out the Roaring Moon. So really, really cool combo. I like this. It's Lost Box again. So if you've already been playing Lost Box, just pick up three Roaring Moons and then a common Jirachi. And that's it. You've got the deck. It's built.
I do like what I like about this one is if you think about Roaring Moon in the other version, you are playing the tool that adds 60 HP to your Roaring Moon. However, if you're not playing Jirachi or say it's not on the field for whatever reason, you might see a lot of Lost Box decks take advantage of Roaring Moon decks because they could just Lost Vacuum your little charm. And then all of a sudden, that Lost Box deck could end up taking, you know, a few prizes all in one turn. Or, like you were saying, like Iron Valiant, which we'll talk about in a second, that deck is very vulnerable to a Lost Vacuum, whereas the Emergency Jelly, because it procs at the end of your turn, there's no opportunity for your opponent to Lost Vacuum and then take sneaky KOs with damage counters. So
yeah, it's like a passive tool card.
Exactly.
Passive as in being in your turn.
So there's a small world in which I'm like, that might be a safer tool to pair with Roaring Moon because it's not, you can't get around it, right? Like it just, it is. And then cool, I'm going to have to actually deal 150, which is not hard, but it will require your opponent to probably do an attack rather than some other thing.
I think of this a lot like Lost Box Gudra. If you did not see over the weekend, Lost Box Gudra actually did pretty decent. There were some players that ended up piloting that deck very well. And I think of it a lot like this. Like you do your Lost Box things because you're Lost Box and you just do Lost Box stuff. But then, you know, especially for those big heavy hitters, right? Because you know, we see Pokemon in this format that are huge, and sometimes Lost Box kind of struggles to go around it. Roaring Moon is a great answer to just take two prizes. You know, forget the Dragonite, right? Forget, you know, potentially Raikou. Just go in Roaring Moon. You literally knock out anything. It's a very interesting card, I feel like, in this format. And then if you need like a bigger body, like you mentioned previously with the other list, you know, you could just decide to discard the stadium instead to just do the damage and still have 230 HP. So I don't know. This is a whack decision that I don't know why more people aren't talking about this, because I like this build. I like this build of Roaring Moon. I would say it's my preference.
Yeah, I'm kind of honestly, like, in some ways I'm coming around to this, because the more I think about it, Jake, the more I'm like, I see this build. It's slower, that's for sure. It's like, what's your play style? But if you think about how Lugia V-Star, when it had access to the amazing rare Yveltal, how that was like, it was such a huge potential threat every single game. And now all of a sudden you have the same effect and it's a body that you would power up in one turn. You know what I mean? Like, and you have it in Lost Box, which is really gross. Like you didn't have that before. And so depending on the game you're playing, you're like, hey, is my opponent going to be able to deal with a single prizer? If not, I don't even need necessarily Roaring Moon, or I just bring it in at the very end of the game like Kyogre, but it's a much easier Kyogre to pull off. So, and it's interesting.
It does force you, though, with your Mirage Gate, you know, because you do have to have two different types of energies that accelerate onto the Roaring Moon. You do have to force yourself to either manually attach a dark energy on it or, you know, use another Mirage Gate and attach it the other energy somewhere else. So it could be a little bit finicky, but I mean, I like the deck.
Yeah.
But not as much as a lot of people are liking the next deck, Sean.
Yeah. This deck is the one that I keep talking about, which is probably going to be kind of a mid-tier deck. Any deck that I fall in love with, I'm not going to lie, any deck I fall in love with ends up being kind of mid. So take that for what it is. But this deck is Goldango EX. I specifically pulled up a very, again, a very turbo version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a lot of, I think, variations. I think the one card that I don't see in the list we're showing on screen, but it was in Andrew Mahone's list, is the TM Evolution, which would allow you to just...
Oh, the Devolving?
No, the Evolving one.
Oh, Evolving. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, like, say you are going second, and this deck has Mew. You leave Mew in the active, you get some value out of it. You know it's going to get knocked out, probably. But before it goes, hey... Let's evolve two of those gimme goals in the back before my opponent has a chance to do anything to them. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who don't know, Goldango, again, it has an ability. Let's start with that. That it says, draw a card. If the Pokemon is in the active, draw two cards instead. So you draw a ton of cards with this. You may not even need an additional draw engine once you get three or four of these up and running. But just in case you have a Radiant Greninja, perhaps. You do probably want Manaphy to protect your Gimme Ghouls. You might want Jirachi to stop Sableye, and then Mew to help you set up. But then its attack for one metal energy. It does 50 times, I believe, and it's 50 times the number of energy you discard from your hand. So it's very similar to Chen Pao, but instead of needing a Backscalibur to get all the energy on board, all you need is the superior energy retrieval and the earthen vessels to just put the energy into your hand instead. So you get to kind of skip a little step there in the process. But yeah,
the reason I like this. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting deck. And as Sean alluded to, you know, there's some people that are already playing it with like Andrew Mahone. I think it was last week or maybe the week before. Was playing this and it looked really cool. The reason that I like not playing the TM instead or not playing the TM is I kind of like Jirachi a little bit more in terms of Jirachi is way easier to find, right? Because the idea of the TM is to protect your Gimme Ghouls, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jirachi effectively does the same thing, and you have how many outs to it? 10 outs to that guy in comparison to like the TM, like you just have to find it, right?
True.
Because your Mew doesn't search for it, or you could play Arvin's, but anyways, this list opting for the Avery's too. Avery's and Workers are really interesting, but I guess you really hate Path to the Peak. So like,
yeah,
because Path to the Peak just turns you off completely.
Avery is a really interesting card because it makes you discard down to three bench Pokemon, right?
Mm-mm.
Or is that...
Just your opponent.
Just your opponent. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a pretty... It's pretty nasty because it's like, yes, you might get rid of damaged Pokemon, but the reality is Goldango is nothing staying damaged. It's either taking the knockout or nothing with this deck. So you're basically getting rid of... You might help your opponent by getting rid of smaller Pokemon that are like set up, like Lumineons and Squawkabellies or whatever. But later in the game, you're going to be getting rid of like Gardevoir. You're going to be getting rid of useful Pokemon that they are like, I don't want to get rid of a Kirlia or
opposing Goldangos.
Right, exactly. So it's a very interesting list. I think there's a bunch of ways you could probably build Goldango. I think Goldango will probably suffer from the same challenge that early Maridon faced, which is first versions of Maridon were, I think, pretty weak. And then over time, people found the partner Pokemon to use with it. And I think this will have the same evolution over time.
I wonder if there's ever a world where you play like Path to the Peak and Lost Vacuum. Like Mew did.
I don't see. I mean, yeah, you could certainly play around with that because that it's effectively the same thing that Genesect is doing in many ways, where it's like, hey, mm-hmm. I draw a lot of cards, but, you know, if you get rid of my, if the path sticks, it's probably hurting you. And, you know, unlike Chen Pao, its ability doesn't, you know, isn't the thing that it relies on to necessarily get energy. You have Earth and Seal and all these other things. So yeah, maybe you would play this with Judge or Iono, other cards, or maybe you play Worker. There's three workers in this list. Maybe you play four yeah. Worker and four Path. That would be pretty wild.
That's kind of, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I do like the idea of having the four Pokestops, right? Because we know how strong Pokestop is. It's used in the Lost Box versions and Chen Pao, I think, as well. You know, just finding those imperatively important item cards. And now we have in the format Earthen Vessel, like you were mentioning, another item card that you can get off Pokestop. It's effectively getting two energies. So I don't know. I mean, I think probably Pokestop is the strongest version of this deck, but I would be intrigued to see a Path to the Peak version.
The only other thing that I would recommend people do when they look at Japanese lists, and this is something mm-hmm. I've noticed, I feel like Arvin is not particularly popular in Japan as a supporter, but in the West, I'm finding that, and I think most people are, that Arvin is a really good supporter these days. I could see a world in which you build this to be a little more Arvin-centric, because you can go get your Earthen Vessels with it. You could go get your superior energy retrievals just directly. And then if you were to play any card like, you know, a V card that I really have liked is either Lumineon or Pidgeot V. I say Pidgeot because if it's on the bench, you can just shuffle it right back into the deck after you're done. So it's a mm-hmm. really great V Pokemon to have if the only thing you need it for is Seal Stone. So that's, again, the only other thing I would consider when building Goldengo. When looking at Japanese lists, I think Arvin is underrepresented in Japan specifically.
I would agree that I think we see a lot more rest of the world using Arvin. I don't know how it would fit in here, but I'm also just looking at this list right now and being like, no, Arvin wouldn't fit. But as you're saying, you know, there may be just a different build in general that kind of focuses away from this, maybe dips out on the cross switchers or something like that, and tries to gear itself a little bit more towards Arvin for Seal Stone type shenanigans and things like that. I do think you probably, if you're going to play heavier Arvin, you probably want another tool card.
Yeah.
As well as for Seal Stone. If you're going to be adding one Pidgeot and a four Seal Stone or other four Seal Stones, because aside from that, your Arvin is just getting item cards. So, and that's, I don't true. Know, maybe you just draw well enough with the deck, with, because I mean, like, your Averys and your workers are draw supporters, even though they have those other effects to help you out. So I don't know, maybe this is enough draw, but maybe you could have an idea where, you know, you can draw and have, you know, tool cards help you out. I don't know.
Jake, you've been hinting at this list for a minute now. Give us a rundown of what maybe is your favorite card from the set.
I don't know if it's my favorite. I would say it's definitely climbed the ranks. The more, like, after we did our set review and we talked about Iron Valiant, I have talked to more people about Iron Valiant. I have watched more videos on Iron Valiant. I've put more thought into Iron Valiant. And I'm like, man, I think this card is better than we gave it credit for, Sean.
Yeah.
I think the idea, like, we focused a little bit too much on the attack of Iron Valiant and not as much on the ability. So I want to pull up the Iron Valiant card if I can, just to make sure that we have the correct wording on this stuff. The ability, once during your turn when this Pokemon moves from your bench to the active spot, you may put two damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon. I think this card is a perfect combo with Rapid Strike Urshifu. Now, if you look at this list is from Gassy on Twitter, so shout out Gassy, Vinny. This list is in combination with Rapid Strike Urshifu, the Rapid Strike Octillery. You know, you got your Iron Valiant in there. But the big point is Medicham V, right? With Iron Valiant, the ability to put more damage counters everywhere allows you to more effectively get out the Medicham V. And think about it this before, right? What was the partner with Rapid Strike Urshifu before, Sean?
I mean, it was Medicham, right? But
No. Think of the other partner.
I can't remember. Who was it?
Rapid Strike Urshifu? You remember the other partner? Cyrus?
I can't remember.
Rapid Strike Inteleon VMAX.
Oh, right,
and
right,
why
yes.
did you play the Rapid Strike Inteleon VMAX?
Because you could place two damage counters if you discarded an energy, right?
Exactly. But now you don't have to discard the energy because you have so many switching outs in this format. In this list specifically, you're playing four switch card, four escape ropes. And guess what? Iron Valiant is a basic Pokemon. So switch card is a really cool combo with that Pokemon. Not only that is you have the Tower of Waters in there as well. You have the future energy capsule to give your Iron Valiant free retreat. You've got the De-Evolution TM in here as well to de-evolve your opponent's Pokemon after you place all these damage counters with the Rapid Strike Urshifu, with the Iron Valiant, right? To just take multiple knockouts in a turn. I don't know, Sean. This list, I look at this and I think about Iron Valiant more and I'm like, man, I think we got to watch out for this deck.
Yeah, the ability to take an extra turn is no joke. Mm-hmm. The ability to donk your opponent. So, you know, we don't talk about this probably very often because it's not as much of a threat. It's not really a threat. It hasn't been in standard format for many years. But going first, there is, in theory, you could win going first on the first turn before your opponent gets a turn. If you mm-hmm. get, say, you start an Iron Valiant or anything, doesn't really matter, but you start a few cards, you get a couple of battle VIP pass or some nest balls, so you get all four Iron Valiants out. With enough switching cards, that's eight damage counters that you can place in a turn. Now, that is as most you can do. There's no other way to get more on turn one going first. But eight damage counters knocks out most baby Pokemon, like single prizers. So if your opponent is sat there and like thinking that they're playing, you know, pre-Paradox Rift format, puts one Pokemon in the active thinking, this will be fine. If you hit the right cards, the game's over before they even have a turn. So definitely scary.
You're not even mentioning as well the ability to attack when you're going second.
Oh, if you go
on
second.
On top of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you go second. No, yeah. I mean, if you go first, you have that as well. But if you're going second, let's say your opponent just doesn't find any Pokemon on their first turn because the first turn rule in the format, you can't play a supporter. You also can attack, right? You have Rapid Strike Urshifu has the first attack that is, I think it's either one energy or two, but either way, you're going to be able to fulfill it if you find an energy, right? That's 30 extra damage. You could Yoga Loop, Sean.
Yeah,
that's 20 damage on there. You have the Squawk ability, that's another 20 damage that you can put on there. So it's like, yeah, first or second. I mean, and then even at that point, like just being able to hurry up and put those damage counters out there, even if you don't donk, can give you such a good advantage for a knockout going into next turn or a Yoga Loop going into your second turn.
Yep.
Or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm really liking this idea.
And you know, like you said, if you go second, say your opponent finds two Pokemon. I think we've seen games where, you know, decks like Gardevoir, maybe they don't have the best setup in the world. They get one Ralts and like, I don't know, a Mew or a Manaphy, just two little dudes out there. Doesn't matter. Shoot, you go second, you put damage counters effectively, then you Yoga Loop, take an extra turn, move some more damage counters around with Iron Valiant. It's like your opponent, they had one turn, basically. And like it's effectively a donk because you got two turns in a row. So, yeah. And the fact that Iron Valiant also is a really good answer to Manaphy. So like, yeah, that was the bane of Rapid Strike Urshifu's existence is like, oh,
that's why it started playing Rapid Strike Inteleon.
Right. So now you're like, okay, it's a much easier way to just kind of get rid of that mana fee, get rid of that little thing so that you can, you know, do all that damage to the bench, take more prizes. I don't know how it remains to be seen how, how consistent this strategy can be. I don't know. But, you know, anybody who played like a decent amount of Lost Box or other decks where you want a lot of switching cards, when you hit it, those decks really go crazy. So, yeah, this will be interesting.
This will be a cool one, in my opinion. So get ready for your Iron Valiant decks. That's probably my choice I play.
If you end up going second, start putting two basics down if you can.
But well, I guess it depends on what deck you're playing, because if you're playing like an Arceus deck, you're fine. But if you're playing a Comfey deck, playing a Comfey deck, yeah, that might be a little bit trickier. But
Jake, do you want to talk about the next deck? And this is one that's grown on me, although it seems like it's a more complicated way to do what a couple of other decks do, which is Serena EX. For those of you who may not remember what Serena EX does, it is a stage 2, which is maybe a problem, but it's a stage 2, 310, water type, so it's like a terrestrialized Serena. But its first attack is the one that really matters. It for one grass energy, I believe you place damage counters on your opponent's Pokemon until they have 30 HP remaining, is how it's worded.
I'm looking it up right now, Serena. I'm trying to look it up right now. I just didn't know how to spell Serena, because it's it's a little bit tougher of a word for me. So Serena EX. Okay. That doesn't have any translation on it. Okay.
I feel like it's a place damage counters and not a do damage, but I could be wrong. The reason being that I only call that out because Jirachi, the new Jirachi, might really ruin your plans with this deck. But the cool thing about this one is when you leave your opponent at just 30 HP left, especially if they can't evolve, they are what they are, you can put your opponent into some really awkward situations. The version of the deck that we are looking at from Japan plays, I believe, is that Braviary?
It's a Hisuian Braviary, yes. And if you do not remember what that does, its first attack is really, I think, what you're trying to do, and its place 3 damage counters to all of your opponent's Pokemon that has damage counters already on it.
Yep. So if you really love the idea of a checkmate deck, I think this deck, because that Braviary doesn't require any energy, it can be really hard to stop. Like, you know, unless you knock out the thing that evolves from, which is totally doable. But yeah, the idea here is that you're setting up damage counters, and then with Braviary, you just sort of come in, take all the knockouts at once, probably, I assume, win the game on that turn. And then, you know, you got Bidoof to draw your cards and other things, just mostly consistency things. I think Irida is an interesting card in this deck, because while the pre-evolution to Serena is grass type, the Terastallize is water. So similar to Baxcalibur, you can actually play this like a Baxcalibur, a Chen Pao deck a little bit. So, yeah, I find this to be, it's an interesting deck. I think the other benefit here is you can actually take good advantage of a card like Cheryl, which we haven't seen get a lot of play, because all of your Pokemon's attacks that matter only take one energy. So you don't really care about discarding one grass energy. But I don't know, Jake, what do you think about this?
Just to make sure we're all on the same page again, the Serena Terrestrial EX does say putting damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon until its HP is 30 or more. 30 remaining. So, yes, the Jirachi is a little bit
dicey.
Is a little bit tricky in that, and the Jirachi I do feel like is going to be in a lot of decks. So maybe if this deck needs to modify, it needs to have a way of getting around that per se. But We do have things in format like Boss canceling Cologne, right? Chin Pao has done that for the mana fees. And so theoretically, this can also work for the Jirachi as well on top of that. So Boss, Cross Switcher, Escape Rope, canceling Cologne, whatever that may be a way to get you through there. But I feel like this is a really cool version of the Serena because, again, like you mentioned with the Braviary, you know, it's kind of a finisher. It's kind of a checkmate move that you can do on your opponent. So as long as nobody's playing Jirachi, go ahead, play this deck.
or nobody's playing the new supporter that picks up your Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. Which we did get confirmation. It's pretty much the same as AZ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, I like the Braviary is nice from a like, oh, I can set up checkmate on my opponent. But I still stand by Brute Bonnet, Ancient Booster Energy Capsule, Hisuian Sneasler, Radiant Hisuian Sneasler, because that between turns will deal three damage in terms of poison counter. So, you know, it's kind of like a Roaring Moon combo, except it's a stage two version of it. But it's a stage two that's hard to knock out. So, you know, I don't know.
You will be able to get to your favorite card in there, probably Arvin.
Yeah. Yeah, you could totally Arvin. Look, there's a whole lot of ways to do things, but I think this is an interesting card to keep an eye on, at least, at the very least.
There is another Pokemon in here that you may be curious about what it is. There's another Serena in here. It's a one of that is 160 HP grass Pokemon. Its first attack, well, we'll talk about its second attack first. It's two grass energies, 160 damage, do 20 damage to yourself. So two-shotting Pokemon, per se, one-shotting almost a Charizard. But with its first attack for one grass energy, 60 damage, during your opponent's next turn, Pokemon can't be played from your opponent's hand to evolve the defending Pokemon.
Ooh, that's sneaky. That's very sneaky.
Which is really tricky, I feel like. And so I don't know how good that is because I think theoretically you could just get that Pokemon out of the bench.
And then the right, effect with goes like away.
Yeah, and the effect goes away, but it does give a little bit of disruption to your Pokemon. And again, like I talked about with, you know, potentially hitting into Charizard, which is an ever popular deck still at this point, you know, doing 160 damage, 320 without damage modifiers. I think that leaves Charizard with 10 HP left. How much is Charizard? Is it 330 or 320? So that leaves with 10 HP left. And so then you could go into Hisuian Braviary next turn.
Yeah. Yeah. This it's interesting. I look at this. I know Hisuian Braviary is, it does clean up even on basics. There's a world in which I also see this deck could play the new Devolution.
It could. Card.
If you're playing against a deck that has a lot of stage ones and twos, and they're already evolved. You know, a few setup turns. So lots of options. But Jake, do you want to talk about an update to an already popular archetype? This is one of the, I think this is the only deck that we're talking about today that is about an update.
It's the one that everyone's been fearing. Everyone's been scared of. The hype card of the set, Iron Hands EX in the Chen Hao Baxcalibur decks. All it really is two cards that you need to add. One Lightning Energy and one Iron Hands EX, and that is all you need to do in this deck in order to get a functioning multi-prize taker with the amp you very much, because Baxcalibur says accelerating water energies to any of your Pokemon. It can move up into Iron Hands EX to fulfill its four energy cost. One Lightning Energy, three colorless, 120 damage. If you knock out a Pokemon in this way, take an extra prize. So very, very interesting. Chin Pao did very, very well this past weekend, I think. I think two of them in the top eight of whatever regional it was, Toronto. Two Chin Pao Baxcalibur in the top eight in that. And I do think that Chin Pao overall as a deck does get stronger because of this new attacker. Now, I don't know if it turns into the best deck in format, but it definitely gets way better.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think this is one where like I look at a Japanese list and I think to myself, man, if you need it and you prize that one lightning energy, that's a big sad.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, look, you still have Chen Pao. Don't get me wrong. Chen Pao's a good card. Mm-hmm. So the question is whether or not Iron Hands is... It definitely helps your Lost Box matchup. I think that's really the key, right? Like, it's your Lost Box matchup that you can come
through. Any deck that plays baby Pokemon, I mean, you can get a Charizard in there, right? Or, I'm sorry, not a Charizard, Charmander in there. You can get a Charmeleon in there. You know, you can get a Pidgey in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could definitely take some baby Pokemon out, especially if you... If you're going first and on turn two, you're able to get that Iron Hands up. Oftentimes, if your opponent has like a little Pokemon that they left in the active, yeah, you could take two instead of one prize. And that may be the thing that makes all the difference. So I don't know. I think this is a very good deck for Iron Hands. I might put two Lightning Energy in and find space somewhere, but I just am afraid of prizes. That's maybe me. That's a me thing.
I think the thing that you would have to take out is probably a Canceling Cologne. You could, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could figure it out.
Yeah. But this, again, just being the only updated deck that we give, not a new deck to Paradox Rift, but one that we feel like enough people want to see Iron Hands or are going to see Iron Hands that you probably need to see what a list looks like.
Jake, now I want to finish this episode with a wild card deck that Jake found. All props to Jake for spotting this list among the Japanese lists. And what I will also say is this list is actually not possible in English. There is one supporter that is not a huge deal. There's technically one supporter, though, that doesn't exist in English. Ignore it. Put in, I don't know, Arvin. But yeah, Jake, tell us what are the two attackers in this deck and why they work so well.
So you've got two attackers in this deck. One of them, Hisuian Electrode V, 210 HP grass type Pokemon, has an attack that doesn't cost any energy. It is a free attack. It says 100 times this attack does 100 damage for each special condition affecting this Pokemon. So that is one of your attackers that has three of them in this list. The other one is a Clough, a basic fighting type Pokemon with 120 HP coming out in Paradox Rift. It has an attack for two colorless energies that is 30 plus. If this Pokemon is affected by a special condition, this attack does 160 more damage, doing 190 or 170 because you're playing only double turbo energies in there. So if you're going to be attacking, it's probably for 170. Now, you may be wondering, how on earth would I ever get these special conditions on these Pokemon? Remember Brubonnet, the ancient type Pokemon that we talked about earlier in Roaring Moon, with that ancient booster capsule tool card thing that comes out, gives you the ability to poison both active, it's both active Pokemon, right?
Yes.
Both active Pokemon. And so there you go, doing extra damage with those attacks. That's 100 damage that your Hisuian Electrode can do. But there's also another crazy card in here, Sean, that I don't think many people know about. I had to look it up from Astral Radiance.
I think this one, I can't remember what it heals. It heals a certain amount of damage and then your Pokemon is burned.
Exactly. It is Spicy Seasoned Curry is this item card that you can get from Arvin, right? Your favorite card ever, Arvin. Somebody Photoshop Sean's face on Arvin, the trainer card. It says your active Pokemon is now burned. Heal 40 damage from it. So a really interesting thing. I think it's primarily used just to apply the burn. Now you have four other cards that can proc your Quaff, right, to do that extra damage, but you also have another status condition that you can apply to the Hisuian Electrode to be able to do now 200 damage for free, Sean. For free! This will one-hit KO with Charizard, right, which is pretty sick. I love that. And yeah, you play other cards in here like Hisuian Sneasler, right, to boost up that poison damage on there. You've got your Bibarel to draw a little bit. I will say you do this list, the one card that we mentioned that is in this list, it's called Atticus. It's a, I think it's a city championship promo or a gym promo. Special type of tournament from Japan. It basically says if your active Pokemon is poisoned, draw until you have seven
shuffle and draw seven.
Or,
it's like Cynthia.
Shuffle. Yeah, it's a draw supporter of sorts that procs when or that you're able to play when your Pokemon is poisoned. So you would just substitute that with other cards. You know, you can add more Ionos, you can add a Roxanne, you could add more research. There's only one research in this list, so you could have that as well. You know, a couple different options that you can if you do want to play this spicy spicy deck, Sean. I think this deck is really cool. I would probably play this deck because it's probably out of all the decks that we've shown today going to be the cheapest.
The one thing I would say about this deck, which is really interesting, is it really takes advantage of special conditions, and you can play this deck as a single prize deck. You really can. Because Quaff for two colorless energy. Now you might have to come in with the Electrode at some point, but think about that. Like for double colorless, you're doing 170. If you get the little wombo combo, then you're doing 170 plus three damage counters. So that's 200 damage on a basic single prize Pokemon that you're doing. And if your opponent decides not to move out of the active, it'll take another three and then another three. So if they don't move out of the active, don't evolve, whatever, it's effectively like 260 damage it can go up to, or maybe probably not more than that. But like it's a very interesting deck. I think people are going to get really surprised when playing against this. I don't know how it fares against the meta, to be honest, but hitting for fighting weakness and grass is really good.
So I will say kind of the secret deck that was going around Toronto was Arceus V-Star. Actually, there were several people that did really well with an Arceus V-Star list. I think the Shuffle Squad played it. Alex Szymanski did really, really well, and a couple other people I saw. So one, you hit that guy for weakness, right? Arceus binder drop decks are a dime a dozen, it feels like, especially at the local level. You also, Sean, hit Maridon for weakness.
It's pretty right? good.
You hit Maridon for weakness, you'll one-hit KO all of the Pokemon in Maridon, which is really good. As you were mentioning, you know, that prize trade being a single prize Pokemon in there, and then the Hisuian Electrode, you knock out the Charizard. Right. Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, you get the two status conditions, which Arvin really can find you both of your status conditions. Right. Arvin can find you the tool card to attach to Brute Bonnet to poison both Pokemon, and then also find the item card, the spicy curry, to burn yourself. So, yeah, I mean, this deck is whack.
Yeah, it's
I love it.
It's dope. So I think we can leave it at that, but yeah, that's just a smattering of what you can expect in maybe 2 weeks' time or a week maybe at your locals this next weekend even.
Yeah, I mean, even like right now, I mean, you can start playing this, you know, as soon as your locals allows Paradox Rift cards as well. You can play these decks also on PTCG Live by the end of the week. I think PTCG Live puts cards out on Thursday.
I believe so.
You could do that. You can get all the cards that you want from there. But yeah, I mean, that's some of the decks that we got. Soon we'll be doing event coverage and stuff like that. We may have some more decks in the future because there was a couple other ones that I sent Sean that we liked but didn't want to do it yet in this. So who knows, Sean? Who knows? But anyways, thank you so much for listening to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake. That's Sean. We'll see you next week. Enjoy Paradox Rift. Send us your polls.